Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Advanced Kayak Angler. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Kurt, what's up, man?
Man, spring is almost here. I feel it. I felt it today. I don't know if you can see it, but I got a little bit of a, like half my face got sun. Oh, it was good day. So I'm just itching for spring, man. That's what's going on with me. What about you?
We had a tournament. It was a North Alabama Kayak Anglers and joint tournament with Alabama Kayak Anglers Tour on Gunnersville this weekend. Did good, got ninth out of like 60 people, but it just, you know, I caught like all the fish. I swear I caught at least 20 that were 13 and a quarter. Damn. I don't know how that's possible. I caught 79 inches, but Russell Wallace, that guy, the king of Gunnersville, he owned it and had like 94, 93 something. So yeah, he whooped everybody. It was great. I caught like 50 fish. It's hard to complain whenever you catch a hell out of them, but you know, you just,
yeah, that's a good day, man. I mean, anytime you catch 50 fish is a good day.
That's if you're going to lose, that's the way to do it. Yeah. That's second tournament in a row that's gotten me with all fish, no size.
Mm. Oh, some weird adjustments need to happen, man.
It's so tough to leave. Like, I'll just catch them all day. It's hard to that spot. Like, I've caught giants where I was at too. And I've never seen little fish before. So it's just totally blowing my mind. But
I wouldn't leave, man. I'll be honest with you. I always think like when I'm on fish, I just got to work through them. You know, when they're eating and they're in a good looking area and you've been there before, you got history with big fish there. I would have never left. I would have stayed there.
I talked to my buddy Lance Coley, and he did some research and went back and looked at his events. He's a numbers guy. He's an engineer, so he's very meticulous about things. He said that from the fish that he's caught and looking back at the different schools and things he's gotten on, that spots Alabama bass, because that's where we live. But that's a lot of for what we fish here, but that big spots and small spots will group up together, but largemouth won't. Like on average, if you were to extrapolate it out over however many tournaments, and like if you get on a school of largemouth, then more times than not, you're not going to upgrade that much, but spots you will, because maybe it's their smaller mouth. Like they literally just can't physically eat each other. You know, like a 20-inch spot just can't eat a 14-inch spot.
Maybe. I feel like smallmouth are the same way. Like if I catch a smallmouth, I'll pitch right back into that spot, and sometimes I'll pull out a big one, like right behind, like a 12-inch, or I'll pull out an 18 or a 20. But totally with largemouth, although I say that, but sometimes
sometimes you do.
Yeah, especially at Gunnersville, I feel like anything could happen, right?
Yeah.
Never happens to me there. I suck at Gunnersville. I can't stand that I suck at Gunnersville. I keep trying, but I always suck at Gunnersville.
There's some spots that would definitely cater to your game. You just got to get on them.
Every time I seem to, I just never – it's like a curse, man. I don't think I've caught a fish over 18 inches in size at Gunnersville. Even in practice or any time, I just stop.
I'll put you on them.
Okay. I'm serious now.
We'll go to two places. We'll go to Gunnersville. I'll put you on your PB spot too.
Okay.
we can do that easy. No problem. Awesome. All right. But the Hobie's coming up this week, and man, it's here in my backyard. I wish more people were signed up, but now I get it because, the weather is going to be awful. 83 people sign up. That's disappointing, but it is what it is.
That really is disappointing, man. I still don't really know why. I mean, the weather's bad, but the weather's been bad at other ones, and the turnouts. I just don't understand. It's got to be the economy, and there's so many tournaments to pick from that people are having to just pick and choose and make decisions. Yeah. You know, I know that's part of the reason I'm not going. That and I bought a bunch of molds for making baits. So now I got.
I hear you.
Let's bring Tim on, man. I want to hear about Tim's kick-ass week.
Well, this week we've got Mr. Tim Isaacs, winner of day one and day two of the KBF event on Lake Murray. What's up, man?
Not much, you guys.
Yeah, appreciate you being on. Tell it, since you haven't been on show before, tell everybody who you are.
Tim Isaacs, born and raised in West Virginia. I did live a little stint in Ohio, but we don't count that. I grew up about 20 minutes from the New River, so I like rivers and smallmouth. So that's basically, and I've been fishing since I was old enough to hold a rod. There was an old strip mine pond up behind my grandmother's house, and I used to sneak up there, and mom and dad raise all kinds of hell because I was up there by myself around that old strip mine pond. So, but it taught me how to fish. So, well, dad did too. I mean, I grew up on a trout stream also. I was about 2 miles from one of the best trout streams in West Virginia, and used to keep a fly rod strapped to a 20-inch bicycle. And when I got off a bus, I didn't even go in the house. I just threw my stuff on the porch and hopped on the bike and headed to the creek. So
I like it. I'll tell you what, West Virginia, y'all really have some great anglers. Matt Ball, Jody Queen, you, Mark Edwards. A lot of people in kayak fishing are really, you know.
Yeah,
West Virginia's. It like if I were going to make a dream team of anglers anywhere in the country, West Virginia would be hard to compete with.
Yeah, there's a lot of good anglers, kayak and other bass boat guys too. That's kind of where I grew up in, was a bass boat. But
yeah, same.
I got in your bass boat history, Tim. I mean, I don't think everyone realizes, they see you kayak fishing so much, I think people don't realize you have a longer history with bass boat and tournaments. Yeah,
I've been fishing bass boat tournaments since 78, 79, somewhere through there. Given away my age, but in 2002 I qualified for the state BASS team. In 2003 I won the state part of it on Lake Champlain, which sent me to the nationals in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I competed for national championship in the bass boat world also. Matter of fact, last year I qualified for the state team again and made the state team, and it was on James River, but I didn't get to fish it because my mom was sick, and she ended up dying like the week of the tournament. Actually, tournament was on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think, and mom passed away on Wednesday or Thursday or something. But anyway, and then I turned around and qualified for it again this year. So I get to go fish Kerr Lake in September. So
where's that, South Carolina?
Yeah, for another shot at the national championship. So
all right. So still doing the boat thing.
Actually, I do it as a favor to the bass club that I was in. I still join the bass club every year. And if they need somebody to fill in a spot, in the qualifiers, you have to have an even number of anglers go. You have to have a boater and a non-boater to go. So if they need a non-boater, I'll jump in and fish with them just as a favor and kind of
take them on it.
Yeah, keep me on their toes. Keep them on their toes too. But I just like fishing. Hell, I mean, a guy by the name of John Rapp here in the state, he asked me, a couple months ago, I guess, he said, what makes you want to get up and fish every day? And I told him, I don't know. It's just something I love doing. I mean, some people like, yeah, some people like riding motorcycles all the time, and I like getting in a plastic boat and fishing, or any kind of boat.
Whenever you go back and forth between a boat and a kayak, like what changes do you have to make to do one or the other?
The only really change that you really have to make is in a kayak, you're limited to one spot. I mean, kind of. I mean,
yeah.
In a bass boat, you pull up to a brush pile and you make a cast over here, a cast over there, a cast in the middle, and then you go to the next one. Kayak, you pull up and you make 40 casts at that brush pile. And it's really, it's made me, kayak fishing's made me a better bass boat fisherman because of that. And the only difference coming from a bass boat to a kayak, in my opinion, is the hook set.
Yeah.
In a bass boat, you got all the leverage in the world with that, you know, 2,000-pound bass boat. And that kayak, you know, weigh 150-pound kayak, I mean, you set the hook and it –
kayak moves.
Kayak pulls towards the fish, and it's just – you know, I tell people all the time, and that I think that hurt me last week in the BASS tournament on Murray. I lost – I only boated 3 fish all weekend, but I had 10, 11, 12 fish on that either broke me off or pulled off. So I'm almost positive it had to have been a hook set because I just wasn't getting a hook in. And this week, I made sure I set the hook, and it kind of paid off. So
I like it. So. Talk about your pre-fishing for the event was on Lake Murray. Obviously, you fished the bass event, didn't go as you want, so you're going into it angry. did you
get angry? Yeah, in a way, I was very angry going into it. But Jason, my son Jason, he fished out of the same ramp that I did this weekend, last weekend, and he said, "Dad, there's fish all over the place over here." I said, "Well, there's fish over at the other," because I was only about 2 miles up a river from him on last weekend. And he talked me into coming down and putting in there. I didn't get down there until Thursday. But I left the house about 2:30, got down there about 9:30. And I didn't fish very long. I fished about 5 hours, but I caught a 22 and three quarter. It was almost 23 inch fish, weighed 6 pounds. And I caught 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I caught 6 17 inch fish, a 16 inch fish, and a 15 inch fish. And I just put the boat on the trailer. And I stayed with some friends of mine in Lexington, and I just run down to their house, and Roger fixed me a steak and baked potato, and I had a good dinner. Friday rolled around, and it poured the rain down all day. I mean, they said they got over an inch of rain on Friday, and I believe it was it. I mean, it flat poured it down all day, and I was worried to death that it was going to affect that water up there. My only thought was the water up there was stained anyway. But when I got there Saturday morning, it was just a hair higher, maybe 3 inches higher. And might have been a little more stained, but it didn't hurt anything. I mean, my first fish was a 19.
But you think they were used to the water already?
I think they were. And the water temperature is 54 degrees. And it was 54 degrees last weekend, so it's stayed 54 degrees all week. And but like I said, you start out with a 19 on Saturday and a 20 and a quarter on Sunday. You know,
you're living right.
You got to think, man. This is in my back pocket right here, pal. So
confidence, right?
Yeah, definitely. If you catch that, you know how it is. You catch that big fish right off the bat, and it just boosts your confidence. I mean,
So let me get this right. You didn't pre-fish the area that you ultimately fished, or you just ran in there and caught those fish?
I just ran and caught them fish and left. I went around a whole bunch of that whole area up there. There's some really good cuts. There's boat docks, and you know, Kurt, I freaking love a boat dock. I'll travel 3 miles to fish one boat dock.
Yeah, me and you both, man.
But that one section that had those well, I caught three of my biggest fish off that one set of boat docks. And wow. I don't know if you know Justin, and there's only like 7 or 8 boat docks. But the water's 8 or 9 feet out, or 8 or 9 feet deep, out about probably 7,500 yards. And then it gradually goes up to like 3 feet around, a lot of it around the bank was like 3 feet deep.
But, so let me ask you this. You think they were they're starting to stage to spawn, and they were hanging out at the boat docks and whatever structure that they could find?
That's what I think. But
because it sounds like a spawning flat, like what you just described to me, that just sounds like.
But there's another set of boat docks about a mile above there. Same setup, but the water out in front of the boat docks is deeper. It's like 18, 20 feet deep out in front of the boat docks instead of 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I motored all the way up there on Sunday, never got a bite, never got a sniff. And I fished, I don't know, there was 7 or 8 boat docks up there. Same scenario. Against the bank, it was 3 feet deep. Out the end of the dock, it was about 4 or 5 feet deep. But 10, 15 feet out from the dock, it was 20 feet deep. So I just think they were using them docks as a staging ground. But about my third fish on Saturday clued me in. Them fish were either on the first set of posts off the bank, or they were on the last set of posts on the dock walkway.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I really focused on that. Now, don't get me wrong. I hit some of the other posts in between the docks, the last post and the first post. But I didn't catch any major fish off of those. I take it back. I did catch a 17 one day on one of the center posts. But I caught, I caught some 16s and 15s and 4. I think my littlest fish was like a 14 1/4. I caught 9 keepers. I think I had 9 keepers on Saturday and 11 on Sunday.
Wow.
And the littlest one was a 14 1/4. So.
So that main pattern that you figured out was first and last on the
first and last post on the dock.
Oh, that's
how it is, because a lot of times on a boat dock you'll pull in and there'll be a set of posts that has a cross brace on.
Mm-hmm.
You'll fish all them other posts, but that one with the cross brace, you catch a fish. You go to the next post and you think, let's try this cross brace here. You throw at that cross brace and you catch another fish. So you know, figured a little something out. You know, that they like those, posts with the cross brace on. But it's.
Talk about more confidence, right? You catch that big fish in the first cast.
Yeah.
Start patterning them, and now you're getting. I mean, that's a lot of confidence. I feel like I would have a lot of confidence at
that. Exactly. I did. I mean, I didn't catch that 20 1/4 on Sunday until like eight something. I think it was like 8 something.
But there was only 8 docks.
There might have been more than 8, but I don't think there was. I can look real quick.
Well, I mean that's a very limited.
There was
8 docks all day.
There was that set of docks. And then across the lake, there was another set of about 5 or 6. Those were the two I fished. And
Tim, I've never heard you go someplace that didn't have less than 100 docks. I can't believe you fished there.
Sorry, man.
I'm just saying, man.
I mean, they were there, Kurt. That's why I didn't. They were there. I mean,
they were there, man. I'm just teasing you a little bit.
Where I put in the ramp, I put in that little hollow right there. That ramp, there was 500 docks in it, but I never fished a single one of them Saturday or Sunday.
Because you figured out where they were.
I knew where them things were, and they were there. I mean, I could see them on sonar. I mean, I see them on my Mega Live, and I mean, I never really caught any on Mega Live because I broke my stinking mount from my pole.
So you're fishing. You basically during the tournament were fishing blind as far as forward facing.
Yeah, I didn't really. Yeah,
that's awesome, dude. I love hearing that.
I broke my daggone mount. I'm going to make a better one and a stronger one, but you know how I am.
And so, I know you'll make something, man. And people who are listening who don't know Tim, he's a machinist, retired, I guess.
I'm a retired. I worked 41 years for DuPont.
My dad retired from DuPont.
I was a mechanic foremost, and I was a crane operator for a while. I welded for 10 years. If it's broke, I can fix it. So not bragging, but if it's broke, I can fix it. But, let me find that place.
Hey, it just wasn't many docks is all I meant. You know,
there's where I fished, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 docks on this side of the lake. And if you go right straight across the lake, there's another little cut, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on it. And I've mostly concentrated on those.
So were you rotating around between the docks, or were you just spending a lot of time on each one? And then
pretty much spent a lot of time on each dock. I would pull into the bank, and I would fish out, and then I'd go around the dock, and then I'd fish back to the bank on the other side. I did that all the way up through there, and then I just shot across the lake and did the same thing on that set of docks over there. Except on Saturday, I did catch one fish on a log up a cut over there on that side, but it was real close to those docks, so I didn't get away from them.
But still the same type of structure, right? The docks are made of wood.
Same structure, wood. They were on wood. They were definitely on wood because there was a couple of those floating docks had the metal poles, and I never got bit on those metal poles.
So out of those ten docks, two of them at least were. So you really only had 8 docks.
Basically, yeah.
Interest. Wow, man. Wow.
Why is it the metal docks don't hold heat as well? Or
I think that may be what it is. You know how metal is. Metal stays cold and wood warms up. Wood absorbs heat off the sun. But that's the only thing I can figure is they just don't like, unless there's spots. Spots love metal for some reason.
Was it getting cold at night, Tim?
It did the first two nights, but then Saturday, Friday night only got down to like 46, and then Saturday, I think it was a little warmer Saturday night, but
46 isn't horrible though. I mean, it's not.
I didn't, it wasn't like last weekend. I had to you had to swish your rod down in the water to get the ice out of your guys.
So
remind me trout fishing in February at home.
Talk about some of the baits you fish stocks with.
I used a Fatty Z, black and blue.
Jody Queen, huh?
Three. Jody likes the mag. He likes the big dog. I'm a finesse kind of guy. I like throwing that little stuff. But I was using a 3/16 ounce tungsten weight with a that 2X Mustad wide gap white wire grip pin hook.
Great. Did you have it hooked up with your little special skirt and stuff?
I didn't use that jig. I had one tied on laying there in a boat, Kurt, but I never threw it all week.
So just like a straight Texas rig,
Fatty Z, black
and blue. Was it pegged?
Yep, I always peg it.
Okay. So
yeah, I always put a peg underneath and on top both. That way that sinker don't bang at knot.
A little juice there. I like that. Were you skipping it or just flipping it?
Just flipping it.
Okay.
Just flipping it on them posts, and you know, all the way out, I'd flip it in between all the dock posts going in and out both. But I had one. I probably might have could have had 100 inches yesterday if I would have hadn't been stupid. But I flipped. When you're on one side of that dock, what I was trying to do was flip it right in the middle of the dock walkway. Well, this one occasion, I flipped it about 2 foot on the other side of the walkway. And, I mean, she hit that thing at 900 miles an hour. Wasn't nothing I could do. And all I did was hold on. And she wrapped it around that post, and when she wrapped it around that post, she headed for deep water, and it snapped. And when she snapped, it, you know how they do, they got to jump just to let you know how big they were, you know.
Rub it in.
Yeah. She was a freaking giant. I mean, she was a giant. Mm-hmm. So that would have got rid of a 17.5 anyway. So
people who don't flip a lot, can you kind of go over your setup, rod, reel length, and all that stuff?
I use a 7 foot rod that I build myself. I use a Daiwa Procon. This is all spinning reel stuff. I cut everything. I cut everything. All these fish on spinning reel.
Oh, okay. Dang, around docks. You brave, man.
Exactly. I'm brave, but I love it. Okay. It gives the fish a challenge. I'm one of those guys that don't use a net. I don't use a dip net. Right here's my dip net.
Dang, Tim.
I quit using a dip net 3 years ago. I've lost 3 fish because I didn't have a net in 3 years. I'm good with that. How many times have you tried to net a fish and it gets tangled in your rod or in your pedal drive or, you know, and you kill time messing with the net and you lose a fish or, you know, whatever, but I mean, knock on wood, that's just me.
Jason's smiling like y'all have had this conversation before.
Yeah, quite a few times. Sometimes it gets a little heated.
Oh, really? About nets?
Yeah.
Jason don't use one now either. He quit using one a couple of years ago, too. Yeah.
Well, you know, I feel like no matter which way you go with, once you get used to using it,
that's it right there.
You know, and you find something that works for you. And there's so much about fishing that it's just about what you want to do, man. Exactly. You know, sometimes people ask for advice, and it's so hard to give them advice because my opinion is like, well, just do what works. You know, try 6 different things, you know. Well, I think this is one of those things, like you and Jason. I know some other guys, too. Man, they're just so much more comfortable grabbing the fish.
Well, definitely.
Than getting them out. And for me, I have my net where I have it. I've had it just my whole setup for my net. It's been there for so many years. It's second nature. But I just find it amazing. You've only lost 3 fish in 3 years.
That's all I can remember losing it to. And one of them I might have been able to get the net to, but I don't think it would. But it hit the boat. You know, it was come flying in there and hit the front of the boat or something. It hit the front of the boat. Got a net on it anyway, but.
So, yeah, the only people who upset me are the ones, like, I get not having a net, I get having a net. The people that have the little bitty nets, that's just, don't have a net because you got to be knocking them off with that tiny thing.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah. But, that's so true, man. This conversation is just like
I've got a brand new leverage net and a brand new, what is that, Ego? E-R-go,
Ego, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got,
that's what I got.
Two of them are up at mom's in the garage in the building.
So Tim, I got a question for you. You know, you're fishing the docks, you're flipping in there. When were the fish hitting the bait? Was it like on the bottom? Did it have to sit there?
Usually it was between before it hit the bottom and maybe 3 hops. I'd work that bait maybe 3 times. Speaking of the devil, and I'll be generous.
Frank Caller.
But Yeah, it was usually before it hit the bottom, and after about three hops, I just wind it in and pitch it again. So a mix
of stuff. There's some of them were on the fall.
Some of them were on the fall.
And some were on the bottom.
Like that 20 and a quarter I caught yesterday morning right off a bat, she couldn't have been in more than a foot of water because I threw it in behind a post. And the water was so shallow that when it hit the water, it hit the bottom. I could see a little swirl of mud. And I raised up on it. When I raised up on it, I pulled it maybe a foot and a half, 2 foot. And before I let off of it, I mean, she come out of nowhere and just ate it.
Slammed it.
So, but.
What size line are you using?
12. I use 15-pound braid. And 12-pound leader, Seaguar Invis-X, 12-pound leader.
That's right.
Not crazy heavy, not crazy light though either.
Yeah, but around docks, it's not like he probably went
heavier because of the color of the water. I mean, dirty. I didn't have maybe a foot and a half visibility at the very most.
Yeah.
So I could have probably went, 15-pound or even 17-pound, but
oh, I say you had the perfect weight on. You won both days, so you had the perfect weight on one.
That's what I'm thinking too, buddy.
So, one of the tougher parts of whenever you're throwing a light lure like that on spinning gear, and they're biting it on the fall, how do you know? Are you watching your line? Are you a line watcher? Are you watching it? Yeah, are you waiting for it to move to the side, left, or right? Or
yeah, I'm definitely a line watcher. Definitely a line watcher. That's why I hate tournaments that start when it's really, really too dark for me to see my line. It bugs the crap out of me. I fish blind, and that like I said, I've lost a few fish doing that. You know,
that can cost you.
They start swimming. They grab it and swim towards you, and your line got a big bow in it, and you can't catch up with them, and you just don't get a good hook set in them, but. Yeah, I don't like that fishing blind. I like looking at the line, definitely. That's why I use a yellow braid. My braid's yellow.
Okay. I use the Seaguar, the gray Smackdown. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I can't stand looking at that yellow braid. I don't know why. Just like the color, like not matching my stuff. I don't know. I look at it, I'm like, it's so ugly. I can't look at it.
I'm like,
he's still young, isn't he, Tim?
Yeah, definitely. I might try something gray just to see if I can see it better. Yeah, I might try some of that gray. Just see what
it looks like. I'm not you won a tournament. I'm not saying you're using the wrong stuff. I'm just saying I just can't get over looking at that color all day.
I used to use white gray, but I found I can see the yellow a whole lot better than the white.
Hey, man, stay with what works. I know one
how
of
long
them.
A leader with that yellow line. Yeah. How long a leader are you using?
Probably 14 foot. I usually tie my knot, and then I wind the knot up at least one wrap around the spool, and then I cut the line at the reel.
Minimum 14 foot.
Minimum
7 foot.
Yeah. Okay. Minimum 14 foot.
Is there a reason you do that? Just so your knot is in the spool whenever you cast it?
I don't really know. That's just something I've always done, is because that way I don't have to retie a leader. I can break off or I test my knot every 15, 20 casts. I'll grab that hook and jerk it, make sure it don't break. If it does, you retie it. But if you got that long leader, you can fish all day without having to tie another leader.
And what knot are you using, man? What's your connection knot between your braid and your leader?
Oh,
rabbit hole alert.
That old stinking FG knot.
FG knot.
I've got to where I can tie that thing in about 30 seconds sometimes.
You're quick, man. I've seen it in action. You're quick with it.
So, yeah, I like the FG knot.
What knot do you use, Kurt?
Man, I'm stuck on the uni to uni knot, man. I should be using the FG knot.
Aaron Martin.
I know it's stronger. I just can't I'm just not doing it enough. The honest truth of it is I just haven't sat down and made myself tie that knot.
It's not, I don't think it's stronger. I just think it's a lot of people think it's,
oh, it's strong. It's definitely stronger. It's definitely stronger.
You think FG knot stronger?
I think FG knot is probably, and we're, I'm going to get barbecued over this, but I think the FG knot is the strongest knot out there. I sat down one time with them and I just sat there and I did 50 pound braid too. And I forget the weight of the floor I was doing. And I sat there and broke them over and over, tying different knots and just broke them over and over. And that FG knot, man, it would never, like, the knot itself would never break. It was like the line would give up on either side of it. And that was with good line, no abrasions, and me just like yanking on it. And it was noticeably stronger than the uni to uni knot. The uni to uni knot was, I think, you know, none of this was scientific. This is just me in my garage just yanking on some stuff, breaking it.
I should have done some scientific stuff. You know, the plant I worked at here in Parkersburg, Washing Works plant, we make string. Made miles and miles and a gazillion miles of it.
That's why I used it as a kid, because my dad worked at DuPont too. We were using that string now.
I've got two spools out in the refrigerator, I think. That one's got clear, 10 pound clear. And there's over 31 miles of fishing line on that spool.
31 miles.
Yeah, I weighed the spool and I weighed an empty spool. And then I cut 100 yards of line off and weighed it. And figured it out that there was over 31 miles of line on that spool. It's crazy. But they've got a machine there that, you know, tests the breaking string.
Oh.
And we could tie them knots and put it in if they still got that machine, but yeah, I ain't there no more. Well, I did go back for about 4 months, but
I seem to remember one of the fishing shows, they had a machine like that, and they would do different knots and hooks or you know.
Right.
I can't really remember exactly what it was, but it was like a Berkeley. I think it was Berkeley that did it.
I remember watching that. Yeah. A
long time ago.
They would test every, you know, every batch they tested and got it right. One of the guys worked down there. Well, he was a foreman. He knew I fished, and I did some government work for him. I welded some stuff for him. He called me one day. He said, "You need any fishing line?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Come up here when you get a chance." He said, "I got a spool, 10-pound test. I want to give you." I said, "All right." I got up there and I said, "What's so special about this?" He said, "Take that mic right there and measure it." Well, it measured I think it was 0.012. It was 10-pound test diameter. He said, "That breaks at 13.5 pounds. I said, "Okay." It wasn't much on the spool, but I used it for a long time. It's gone now. But because that's another thing people don't realize. Fishing line has a shelf life of 7 years. Keep that in mind if you got
it. It just gets brittle or because of the...
It deteriorates. Sunlight and heat kills fishing line. That's why I said that was in the refrigerator. I keep all my fishing line, even my braid anymore, in the refrigerator. I've got a dedicated refrigerator in my building. It's got nothing but beer, Dr. Pepper, and fishing line in it.
They were living the dream, man.
Seriously, man. My wife would kill me.
Retirement's been good to me, guys. Believe me. I used to wear a shirt at work all the time. It says, "I have a plan for retirement. I plan on fishing." And that's exactly what I'm getting to do. So I'll go
over these crazy numbers. Saturday, you caught 95 3/4 pounds. That's what and you beat Ryan Makowitz with, he had 33 1/4, and Tu Yang, he had 92 1/4. But you had a 21 1/4, a 20, 19, 18 3/4, and 16 75. Mm-hmm. And now on Sunday, You whooped them again with 94 and three quarter. That's a 20 and a half, 20 and a quarter, 18 and a half, 18, 17 and a half, and you beat out Jimmy McClarkin by an inch and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty stout, man. That's a good weekend right there.
It was just one of them dream weekends or dream days, and I had two of them. You know, and just about call your shot. You pull up on one of them docks, and you know, the first one you hit is the one closest to the bank, and you know, you catch a fish off of it.
That's over 190 inches for 2 days, man.
Yeah, Jason figured it up, and he said, man, he said, you'd have smacked them last weekend. I said, and I know I would have had enough to cash a check last weekend if I'd have got those fish in the boat. But that's part of it. You got to get them in the freaking boat. But
what was the difference?
I just think I wasn't setting the hook
there. Oh, yeah, the hook set.
And it was a different spot, right? You fished a different spot?
Yeah, it was a different spot, but it was the same thing. I mean, I was just – if you look on the map, I was about probably – I was probably 2.5, maybe 3 miles put-in-wise from the ramp Jason put in that I fished on Saturday and Sunday to the ramp I put in during the BASS.
So
– but it was basically the same thing.
Do you think the fish moved up a little bit, or do you think they were in the same place?
I'm thinking they were pretty much in the same place. Because, like I said, because I was getting bites and breaking fish off and pulling fish off, and same thing on the BASS tournament. They were just...
You just weren't able to get them in the boat was the difference.
It was just one of them freaking days, you know, where you just... You can't do nothing right. And
then you turned around and did everything right.
Turned around, done everything right. Exactly. I only lost that one good fish. It's the only fish I lost on Saturday and Sunday.
That's really good. Fishing around docks to say you only lost one fish. I mean,
definitely.
Dock fishing, man, it's like it to me, it seems, you know, every time I feel like, you know, they could easily just spin around and.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's all it takes. Like that one giant that I had on it, you know, how fish are. She knew what she was doing. I think she knew what she was doing. But I had a couple of other ones that went around the post, but I just kept I just hold pressure on them. If they break, they break. Very if they don't, a little bit, you keep pressure on them and just start pulling them a little bit, and they'll come right back around it. And two of them did. And one of them was. I'm thinking one of them was that 21 I had on Saturday.
Well, so just hold on to them, huh?
Yeah, I just hold on to them, just keep pressure on them, and they, I mean, once they're there, there's nothing you can really do about it but just hold pressure on them. If they swim back around, fine. If they don't, retie and do it again.
On these docks, were there brush piles or anything like that, or was it just like just straight?
Two of the docks had, you could see some brush sticking out of them, but the rest of them looked clean. I mean, even on my side scan, I ran the graph on side scan most of the day, both days, where I could, you know, when I would go out to the walkway, I could see if there was anything under it, but. Yeah, there wasn't hardly any brush piles under any of those docks.
Interesting. Yeah, that's.
They were just using them as a pathway to get to the shallow water, I think.
Absolutely. That's really what that sounds like. Because, I mean, a lot of, you know, you fish docks a lot. The best docks tend to be ones that have some, you know, because these guys are putting in some brush piles so their kids can catch some crappie or they can.
But most of those brush piles are out in the front of the floating part of the dock.
Yeah.
I caught one fish off a floating dock out in front of the walkways, and it was like a 16 and a half or something. That's the only fish I caught on all that. And I throwed it all four posts going around the dock. You know, you just flip and let it fall as you're going around the dock. But I caught one 16 and a half inch fish or so out off the front of the docks, the floating part. Now,
So next week you'd go back there and you go fish those flats.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean,
mostly the flats, between the docks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we're honestly the docks again, man.
I'd hit the docks again too. You know,
that could just reload, man. That could reload till the end of spawn. You know what I mean?
It may have reloaded between Thursday and Saturday and Sunday too. Just about had to.
I mean, if they're about to go to spawn, you know, I mean, as soon as ones move off of it, there's other ones that are. Usually ready to go because exactly. This should be the early part of the spawn. Now, did you see any beds at all?
Nope.
So it's definitely the beginning.
Oh yeah.
You know, or pre-spawn. I'm sorry, pre-spawn.
I would love for there to be a tournament there this weekend and next.
That place. I was going to say the 21 and a quarter only being 6 pounds. I mean, it seemed 23 and a quarter.
She's 22 and three quarters.
Sean weighs 22 and three quarters.
Yeah, they're not.
It still seems a little bit light, you know. Yeah, like
they are. I mean, their tails were okay. I mean, they weren't beat up or nothing. They're not going on the nest yet. None of the fish I caught had beat up tails.
I kind of feel like that Murray has skinny largemouth just in general.
Really? They kind of do.
Is it right? Because all the chasing the herring, they have to be a little bit more.
Got to chase them. The herring are so fast, they have to come out and actually like do something.
Yeah,
they got. You know, we're shad will be stupid enough to go right into the dock. So there's five giant fucking largemouth just eating.
Right.
Just eating them.
Yeah. Right.
Beep.
So
back to Murray, Tim. I'm sorry, I keep getting sidetracked because you're Tim and we talk all the time. You know, when did it sink in on the first day that you might be able to do it for 2 days? Did you have that thought on the first day at some point in time where you were like, I mean, I think I could do this again tomorrow. I think this is going to be one of those things that it's going to reload. Because obviously it reloaded. You fished the same area for 2 days, the same, you know, you said 10 docks, but you said two of them were floating, didn't have anything on them. So it's the same 8 docks for 2 days.
Well, no, there was five on the other side of the lake also.
Okay. So 13 docks.
I caught 13.
Yeah, I caught 220s off of those docks over there also.
I mean, did you have that thought the first day that I'm going to be able to do this again on day two?
I did after about probably the seventh fish I caught on Saturday. I just had a good feeling, you know.
Yeah.
Did you leave them biting, or did you kind of complete your rotation?
The docks. The first set of docks, I only fished one time on Saturday. I went across the lake and went up that cut, and then I came back down and fished those other docks over. And I only made one really good pass on those docks, and then down below that. There's, you know, I have my 90 some inches. And I thought, I'm just going to run down here to these docks off this deep water and see what's going on down there. And I went down and fished all those, never had a bite on none of those down there. And then by the time I ran back across the lake, I hit two docks on the way back down to the ramp. And there wasn't nothing on them either. So.
But that was a full day, or did you pull out early?
It was a full day.
I mean, I know if you had caught them early and said.
Yeah, I spent about, no, I can't remember when I caught that last keeper at 8.
Well, I ask that because it's so, like, such a small, you know.
Small place here.
Yeah, small place.
But if you look at statistics, most tournaments are won in a 200 or 300 yard stretch. If you look at it,
and you're Tim Isaacs, I don't think you could. I don't think you could lay off a man. I feel like you and Docs, you're catching fish.
That's why like I said, that's why I left it. You know, Thursday. That's why I didn't fish it anymore Thursday, and didn't go back. I mean, granted, I'm old and I didn't want to go out and play in the rain all day on Friday, but I don't think I know I wouldn't have went back there Friday. I might have went up to the other ramp that I fished out of in the BASS. But
you pre-fish really good. You don't beat your fish up and stuff. No, I just mean like during the tournament, like if you know you're catching big fish on docks, I feel like you and docks have a special like relationship that you can't just leave them alone.
Exactly. But you got to remember that this is a two tournament.
Yeah.
It's not a, it wasn't a 2-day tournament. So I didn't really, I'm thinking I'm going to win this first one and then we'll see where we go on the second one.
Right. Win one and then
worry about that other one, you know, tomorrow.
But that's good.
That, yeah. I wasn't fishing. I was fishing at like a 2-tournament weekend, not a 2-day tournament on the weekend. So,
It's funny you say that because I was thinking of it just the opposite. You know, I'm always doing 2-day tournaments, so my mind was just totally set. You got to manage your spot, but you're
right. The majority of them, you know, we fish are 2-day tournaments, not two tournaments, two different days. But
yeah.
Are you the first one to ever, since they split it into 2 days, are you the first one to win back to back?
No, there's been 3 or 4 guys do it.
Has there?
I know, what was it? Hank said there was 2 other guys and Drew Gregory. He won one on Champlain. He won both of them. I can't remember.
Not a lot of people.
I think there's like maybe 4 or 5 of us has done it.
Yeah, not a lot of people have done it, man. I think it's harder to do than it is because just like you just said, it's 2 tournaments, so most people are thinking of it that way when they're there if they're smart, right? And they're exactly. really putting the beat down on if they're on them, they're really putting the beat down on them.
Right.
How long did it take on Sunday to know that you were that it was over?
Well, I caught Jimmy had 92 and a half. He had 92 and a half. I had 90 and 3/4. I caught an 18 and a half, which got rid of a 16 and a half. And that put me 1/4 inch ahead of him. I ended up with 92 and 3/4. He had 92 and 1/4. And that's when they turned it off. And then I upgraded with I got rid of a 16 with a 18. 16, I think it was a 16 and a half. No, it was a 16 and a half. I got rid of a 16 and 3/4. It was a 16 and 3/4 I got rid of with an 18. Which gave me another
inch and a quarter.
And then I got rid of a 17 and a quarter with a 17 and a half, which gave me another 1/4. So I actually needed those last 2 fish.
Yeah.
To win it. I mean, or at least one of those last 2 fish. Well, the 17 and a quarter wouldn't help much, but that 18 really helped. And I caught the next to the last dock going back to the ramp. I caught the 18, and then the next dock, the last dock, I caught the 17 and a quarter.
So right at the end of the day, I mean,
look. Yeah, it was 2:37, I think, when I caught the 17 and a half or something, or 17. Yes, I think it was like 2:37 or somewhere around there. So.
What an exciting, tournament, man! Right to the end, man!
It was. I mean, I enjoyed it actually. I mean, now that I'm sit back and think about it, I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you catch fish like that, you're going to enjoy it, even if you come in second or third.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't catch them sitting on the couch, boys. That's the way I always look at it. I don't care if I don't catch a single fish. It beats sitting on the couch.
That's right. Well, you did it. Congrats. Before we let you go, it's been almost an hour. I want to give you a chance to shout out anybody who makes fishing easier for you.
Uh, Yeah, well, Sandy, of course, she puts up with me all the time. And I guess Dakota Lithium, Fishing Online. Who else? I wrote them down here somewhere.
I'm sure that Hobie 360 helped you with them docks.
I love that boat around boat docks. Fighting current wind and boat docks, I don't care what anybody says, that's the best kayak in the world right there. I'm sorry. Yeah. When you can go around a boat dock almost in a U, a squared off U, and it makes fishing boat docks a dream.
Yeah. I got 180, and that's kind of one of the times whenever I really wish I had 360s on fishing docks, because we have a ton of them here too.
So. Yeah. So you're
including Logan Martin this weekend.
I'll be there.
Oh, are you?
Oh yeah.
Well, man, you're a dock man.
I'll leave Wednesday morning about 2 o'clock. Drive down that way.
That'll be your jam then. They got all the docks.
Oh yeah, Logan Martin, Norman Murray. Yeah, I get cold chills thinking about Norman. I don't know. Like I said, I build my own rods. I use Norfolk Outfitters blanks. Gary Loomis designs all our rods, and I've had really good luck with them. Other than I'm not too lucky around boat docks with rods. I think I broke 5 rods last year, and they were all around boat docks. So I broke them. So,
yeah.
You won some money to buy some more blanks, man.
Exactly. Well, I got there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 blanks sitting in the corner at the house waiting to go in the wrapper. So, I don't know when I'm going to have time to do it now.
Next one.
Tournament season is rolling in here quick. So
yeah, you're on a roll. You got to keep it going.
Yeah, I hope to.
Well, good luck this weekend. Don't be a stranger. Say hey, and good luck to everybody else. Appreciate you being on, and we appreciate y'all listening. Yeah, well, we see y'all again next week. Thanks.
I hope so. Tickle me to death.
See ya.